This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. Tonight, I will be talking with Kevin Collin, Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health and Services, about Wisconsin's new initiative to combat the caregiver crisis. Also, since November is National Family Caregiver Month, I will be talking with my son, Caden Crute, who is a college student at Edgewood College and is part of their cutting-edge program for adults with disabilities. Tonight, Caden and his fellow students are going to be sharing their gratitude for the caregivers in their lives. And then lastly, I will be speaking with Felicia Claiborne, a board member of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, as she talks about the transportation crisis that impacts thousands of non-drivers throughout our state. I am Liza Hallenbrand, and you're listening to the Empower Caregiver Show. And joining me now is Kevin Collin from the Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Services. Kevin, I am unable to get anybody's last name right, no matter how simple it is. So did I get that right? How do you pronounce your last name?
A little off. It's actually Kevin Cochlin.
Cochlin. See, I knew it. Yeah. Thank you for that, Kevin.
No problem.
And thank you so much for joining me tonight. I wanted to talk to you about what is going on in the state of Wisconsin regarding the caregiver crisis. But before we dig into that, can you just tell me a little bit about your role at the Department of Health Services?
Yeah, thanks, Liza. I'm really honored to be here with you today and to talk about, just a really critical and important issue. So my role, I work for the Department of Health Services, and primarily I do a lot of work in our long-term care space. So people that are on Medicaid but receiving long-term care in their own homes or in assisted living or other community placements. So I do policy work, and currently I'm leading one of our American Rescue Plan Act projects, which was some funding that we received during the pandemic to help improve our home and community-based services. So we're doing a number of initiatives, and the one I'm leading is on our workforce.
Well, thank you for the work that you do. It is so needed, and I can only imagine there's never enough hours in your day with everything going on. I wanted to ask you or talk to you tonight about the partnership that you have with UW Green Bay to help address the direct care workforce issue. Can you tell me a little bit more about this program and how people can find more or learn more about it?
Yeah. With our funding that we received through the American Rescue Plan Act, we've been trying for a number of years to really help support the caregivers in our state and to do a number of different strategies. And one of the things that we've heard nationally from some national experts in the field is the importance of having a training program that is built around competency, and it can also be portable, and it can lead to career advancements for individuals. So we spent about a year really researching and participating in some national workshop programs to learn more about it and to look at what other states are doing. And then it came around to the idea of really developing our own caregiver certified direct care professional position. So it was really designed similar to like a certified nursing assistant, kind of on that same level where a person would get this certification and then every 3 years get recertified, and it would give them standing and really help elevate the really difficult jobs that they have, and to show that this is a professional position as well. So that was kind of the start. And we partnered with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, and they were the ones that helped us create the curriculum. And it's based on 14 distinct competencies that we feel are really important for a direct care worker.
Okay. And that's where I was getting a little tripped up. You and I were talking before the show started, because UW-Green Bay actually has on their website a Wisconsin Caregiver Academy. So they have many different areas in which they can support direct care workers and caregivers. But this is not... this program is something completely different. So I just want to clarify that, because I started out confused, and I want to make sure that other people, if they are interested in this program, know exactly where to go and how it's different. So let's just throw that out there so I don't forget later. If somebody is interested in taking this course, where would they go to learn more?
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons we went with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay was because they have had years and years of this experience. They have the academy. They've done a lot of other work with community-based residential facilities and other assisted living facility training. So that was kind of one our go-to then, is to go really work with an expert in this field. To find out more about this program, if you go to www.wiscaregiver, and that's WIS, the word caregiver, CDCP.com, and that is, the acronym is Certified Direct Care Professional. So okay. Wiscaregiver, CDCP.com.
Okay, and Certified Direct Care Professional. Tell me what exactly that is, because I think that's another area where there's just a lot of confusion. You hear direct care worker, you hear paid caregiver, and now we have certified direct care person. Are they all the same person?
Yeah, so it is it's a direct care worker that has chosen to really elevate their skills, take this training, become certified, and then that person is also on a registry, because they have to take a competency test to assure that they've met those 14 competencies that we built it around. And then it gives them that kind of that standing of, I am a certified direct care professional, similar to somebody that can say that I'm a certified nursing assistant. They've gone through standardized training. They show that they are competent in that field.
Okay, and two questions for you. So if I am a family caregiver and I am not getting paid, could I still take this course just for the educational purposes to make myself a better caregiver?
Yes, that's a great question. And we are offering that free to family caregivers as well. They don't get that next part, which is a bonus, and we're going to be talking about that in a little bit, I think. But yep. There's an opportunity to get bonuses too with this certification. Well, but as a family caregiver, they wouldn't be able to receive that part.
Okay. Well, now you spilled the beans, Kevin. You can't say bonus. We can't, and then say, oh, we'll talk about that bonus later. No, what's the bonus? I want to know, what's the bonus.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. So anyone that takes our Certified Direct Care Professional certification, which is a 30-hour online on-demand, so it can be done whenever a person wants to do it, and they can do it in short modules, they can come back to it. So when they complete that, they take a proctored exam, which is it's virtual, but it's live virtual, and they take that test. If they pass the test, then they're on the registry. And if they get a job with a provider who is in the community, so our home and community-based services, those are providers out there that are providing services in their home, in people's homes, in group homes, assisted living, those kinds of places, they would be eligible to get a $250 sign-on bonus if they're new. But if they're an existing employee at one of those providers, they would also get a stay-on bonus of $250. Okay. And then 6 months later, they get another $250.
Wonderful. So I'm asking asking for a friend of a friend who is, I guess, myself, because I also I do some respite care work. And my question was, because I think this bonus would apply to me, is how many hours per week after you get the initial $250 bonus, is there a number of hours, a number of clients? Is there any requirements to it above and beyond that?
No requirements. So this could be part-time, could be full-time, it could be sort of as needed. What we do is we validate after 6 months with that employer to make sure that they're still working for that employer, and they'd get another $250. Okay. The check comes right to them in the mail. Does it go through the provider? It's they go to their mailbox and get that check.
Wonderful. Okay, and then let's see. What else was I going to ask? So if I'm understanding this correctly, you really want the goal for this is to become like a one-stop portal. Do I have that right for caregivers? I guess what my question is here is, once individual caregivers go through this course, how can they make the connection?
Right. So we have another part of a scope of work that we're also working with Green Bay on, and it's called WISC Caregiver Connections. And that is an IT portal that connects our employers and our job seekers, those certified direct care professionals that are coming through.
Wonderful. And I want to learn a little more about that once we come back. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. And when we come back, we'll learn more about this initiative to address the caregiver crisis in Wisconsin. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call, 1-844-967-2789. You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Tonight I am talking with Kevin Coughlin, Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and we are talking about a new initiative that was rolled out to help combat the caregiver crisis in Wisconsin. So just a recap here. There is on Wisconsin Caregiver Careers website, there is a course that you can take. It is 30 hours on demand at your own pace. Once you complete this course, correct me if I'm wrong on this part, Kevin, you have to be linked to one of the care providers in order to get an initial $250 bonus. Is that correct?
Yeah, a provider that is serving our home and community-based services, but it could also be someone who self-directs their own care or a respite care provider as well.
Okay, and so you take the course, you get a $250 bonus, and then after 6 months, there is an additional $250 bonus? I got that
correct.
Correct? Okay, sure. And there's really no strings attached to that as far as how many hours per week you work, how many people you work with, just a retention bonus. Thank you for staying here. We hope that you're loving it. And I don't know how you can't love it. Like I said, I've done some respite work and it's always the highlight of my day. So tonight we are talking with Kevin Kevin Coughlin, the Policy Initiatives Advisor at the Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services. And so I want to ask, Kevin, many families work with different agencies. Some that come to mind in the Madison area are UCP, CLA, Catholic Charities of Madison. And within those agencies, there's also different funding sources such as Katie Beckett and IRIS. Does taking this course in any way help streamline you to be able to work with these different agencies and different funding sources?
Yeah, great question. And that was one of our main goals is to, you know, how do we kind of knock down barriers for caregivers and for providers and people that are sort of directing their own care. So the goal is really to kind of create this universal worker as a certified direct care professional where they can take that skills and work across different settings, different populations. It's not a one and done. People are still going to have to take more training based on, you know, their job assignments and the people that they're working with. But this is really good foundational training. And then another part of our work that's coming soon is what we're calling micro-credentials and virtual badging. And what that will do is we'll be, if somebody wants to upskill their kind of their resume and, let's say they really like working for older adults with dementia, they could get additional training in dementia and then get a micro credential. So on the registry, a person would have, would be a certified direct care professional and maybe have a badge as a dementia specialists or dementia challenging behaviors. So that would then be recognized on their registry. And also they could be using those virtual badges in their social media and different ways on their resumes and things. And on their WIS caregiver connections where they can try to get connected to providers and different people looking for employees.
So that's wonderful. I mean, that's really a win, a win-win. It helps one, give them the education that they need to be able to do their job well, but also, I'm assuming with these badges and credentials, it can help really make this into a career, which if I'm reading between the lines here, is something that you're working towards. Can you tell me more about that? Because I know that, let's just say that entry-level caregiving, it doesn't have a great reputation, although it's one of the most needed positions out there, especially today. If you go on any job hiring site, you see direct care worker, caregiver, whatever you want to call it, just pages and pages and pages. So what's Wisconsin's goal to make this a career? What steps can people take and how can you advance?
Yeah, and I think one of the main goals was we really wanted to elevate these positions and to really show how important they are to Wisconsinites and the difficult job and to make sure that they're being recognized. And actually, one of the listening sessions that we had with direct care workers when we were designing this was they got to name what this was going to be called, and they wanted the word professional in it. So we're really proud of that, having that certified direct care professional, because they are professionals in their work. But we also heard from them that they are interested in career advancement. So we're working right now. We've worked a couple different things with our sister agency, the Division of Quality Assurance, that kind of regulates assisted living and personal care agencies. We've looked at all of the regulations that require training, and we've identified some of those training that people can be waived from because they're a certified direct care professional. So that's kind of, they talk about latticing, where people can kind of work across and not have to be duplicative, just kind of start from scratch every time they move to a new job. And then the other thing is we're trying to do laddering. So we're working to see if we can ladder from a certified direct care professional to a CNA. And in Wisconsin, if somebody wants to become an RN, a registered nurse, most providers or most schools require the person to be a CNA. So we're also in the high schools looking at helping kids that are in like youth apprenticeship programs and HOSA to see that, you know, as I come in as maybe a freshman, even I could become a certified direct care professional, start working, you know, get my feet in this healthcare field. That's something I like. Maybe I move on to become a CNA even while I'm a senior. And then, you know, they're ready to start their RN schooling after that. So there's lots of, we're trying to create that, so, sort of those pathways and to knock down, again, the barriers as much as possible.
Well, you know, I love that you said the feedback from the current direct care workers. Where is their voice in this? I mean, are they part of this process? Because again, I think it's a position that they feel a little powerless in, yet they're given a lot of responsibility. So where are the direct care workers in this training and you know, quite frankly, going forward?
Yeah, so they were a big voice in the development of it. So a lot of things that they suggested we incorporated as we were developing that curriculum. And then as we're moving forward, are the WISC Caregiver Connections, we are hoping that can be more than just connecting employers and employees, and then really have it a website that can support caregivers. And we've got some ideas on how to you know, maybe even create networks of caregivers to talk to each other, things like that.
Well, that'll be wonderful. Thank you so much, Kevin. And please keep me in mind as these things roll out. If you can shoot me an email or whatnot, I would love to get it out across the state of Wisconsin and do everything that I can to help support the caregiver crisis.
That would be great. Maybe have me back next year, because we're going to have the curriculum in Spanish at that time.
Sounds good, senor. You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. And last week, if you were with us, I had a guest that I cut short. Well, I didn't even cut him short. I don't think I gave you any time at all. And that is my awesome sauce son, Caden Crute. And Caden is joining me today because we are in the final days of National Family Caregiver Month. And I wanted to use this opportunity to give some shout outs to the caregivers out there that are working hard to make sure that their loved ones are cared for and have everything that they need. So I reached out to Edgewood College. So Caden, real quick, can you tell those listening a little bit about what Edgewood College is? What do you do at Edgewood College? Let's start there.
I am a sophomore at Edgewood College, and I go to the Cutting Edge program, and I'm there for an education degree.
Yes. So you are in the Cutting Edge program, which is a program specifically for people with disabilities. Would you recommend it to other people?
Yeah.
Yes. You're learning a lot there, aren't you? How to be independent, how to work in the school system. It's been a great fit for you. So I reached out to some of your friends, in college to see if they had anything that they wanted to share with the caregivers in their lives, which could be their mom or their dad or their grandparents or people that are helping them out along the way. And I got some responses back. So we're just going to quickly read through these. Okay, Caden, so why don't you start off? If you want to give just the first name of the student and what they have to say.
First person is Nadia Veet, and she said, "My family has done a great job supporting me through everything. They may always make me laugh and smile. They were always there if I needed help with my homework."
Oh, that is sweet.
Yeah, and wonderful.
Wonderful. And I'm going to read one from Bryce. Bryce wrote, "During my high school years, my best friend Sammy has been there for me. She's watched me all through my sports, and I'm like her fifth brother." Wow, she's got a lot of brothers. "My parents have supported me all the time, from scouts to going to Edgewood College to all the sports that I'm in. They have supported my goals and my achievements." Oh, that is so sweet of Bryce. Next is Brandon. What does Brandon have to say?
Brandon had to say, "Thank you, right at home, for taking me places. I really love going to the art museum, to the opera and orchestra performances. Thank you, Casey Zander, my friend, for fighting for social justice. Thank you to my mother for supporting me all the way. You always believe in me and support my goals. Thank you to the Cutting Edge program for my educational support." Wow, fabulous, Brandon.
That is fabulous. He has a lot of gratitude to a lot of people, and that is wonderful.
Excellent.
And Jacob had to say, "My mom and dad do a great job motivating me by getting me through the day. They give me advice when I might need it. They give me encouraging words to remind me to get my homework done and be on time."
Very splendid, Jacob.
Very splendid, Jacob. Who else is there?
Next up, we got Marie. She said, "I would like to say thank you to my mom and dad for being there throughout all my life. And my mom and dad had taught me how to ride a bike. And when I was a kid, I also taught me how to take swimming lessons and helped me with swimming. They also have been teaching me how to cook in the kitchen at home. They also taught me how to roller skate on ice." Wonderful, Marie.
Oh, those are some busy parents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm learning here? Parents do a lot of things, don't
they,
Caden?
Yes, they do.
And Catherine has to say, "I want to say thank you to my mom for supporting me and helping me and encouraging me and loving me." That's all you can ask for, huh? Who else is there, Caden?
Next up, we got George. Shout out to my roommate. "One thing that I like to say about my mom is that she's always make sure that I'm on top of things like assignments and whatnot, because she is a teacher and that's her main thing. Something else that is, no matter what's going on or what I'm going through, I know I can always either text her or call her or tell her what's going on. And one thing I'd like to say about my dad is that he is one of the people who turned on me to music and has also helped me introduce me to guitar, because he is a guitarist. Something else that we run in a lot of errands together, like I'm his to go person, for as much as I don't want to go, I do enjoy it because he runs around and..."
So what is he enjoys running around errands with his dad, because he tries to incorporate
errands
that whenever he goes shopping. "Thank you so much to my parents for all they do." So, okay.
And it sounds like he's saying he learns a lot from his parents too. So that's good too, George.
He does. And if I'm reading between the lines on this one, I think George likes going and running errands with his dad, because probably his dad is in and out and straight to the point and doesn't come home with $500 worth of grocery bags, right?
Yep. He's getting prepared for what it's going to be like when he's older.
Yeah. And if you had to go to the store with mom or with dad, who would you pick?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, most of my memories is going with you, to be honest with you. That's most of my memories since I was like 8 years old.
Well, yeah, I had to drag you wherever I went, you went. But I'm just saying, and you can answer honestly, I can handle this. If you had to go shopping, who would you rather go with, mom or dad?
Well, you, because I've done it more with you.
Okay, that is not the answer that I was expecting, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
I thought you would say dad, because one, dad buys everything at Quick Trip. If Quick Trip doesn't sell it, dad doesn't need
it. I was thinking more like grocery stores, though. Like, I've
right.
Most of my memories of you at grocery stores.
Yes, we spent a lot of time in grocery stores, didn't we? But let's read what Tyler had to say.
Yes, Tyler. Thank you to my mom and dad for taking care of me and helping me get to Edgewood College. Thank you for helping me be an independent young man. Thank you to my brother Spencer for helping me be an independent young man. Wow, very clever, Tyler. Very,
That is very clever. And I said to you before we started this, we have a lot of these, so we have to read fast. What I didn't know is that you could read so dang fast. So you can feel free to slow down just a smidge.
Yep, and I'm going to thank you to myself as well.
Yes, and I'm going to read what Jack had to say. Oh, good old Jack. We love Jack at Edgewood, don't we?
Shout out to President Jack, Student Advisory.
President Jack had to say, "My parents have really helped me become the person I am today. They have not only helped me with my schoolwork, but they've also helped me present my best self and be comfortable and be able to enjoy everything this world has to offer. I feel like they have also been a great source of communication, and I feel like I can go to them with anything I need. I also feel like I've had a lot of fun memories with them over the years." I bet you Jack did, because they seem like a fun family. They're another big music family, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And what did Tristan have to say?
And he's in the rock. Tristan, "My family has done a lot. I think that when I was going through a hard time and dealing with being in a hospital, there was a lot of family supporting me. When I was going through surgeries, I was surrounded by my family, and I owe them a lot because of that, because they keep me motivated and push me to be the best that I can be. Thank you all to my family." Very, very nice, Tristan. I also remember when you were talking to me about that summer class, that stuff during class too. So it's very good that you're supporting your parents because of it too.
So Tristan had to spend some time in the hospital?
Yeah.
Well, that must have been scary for both.
It had to been.
Yeah, everyone involved. I also want to read what Lily had to say. Lily said, "My dad and my mom take care of me, and I really love them. They drive me around, and they help me get the things that I need. I really like to go on walks with them, and we have fun together." You know what caregivers do? A lot of driving.
Yes.
A lot of driving.
Uh-huh.
You and I have spent a lot of time in the car together, haven't we?
Yep.
Love it. I love it, though. It's my time with you.
Definitely.
What does Sarah have to say?
Sarah, "My parents have helped me get into the Cutting Edge program so I can learn how to become an adult. My parents helped me go going to the doctor and getting food. My parents always tell me to try my best and not judge others. They encourage me to ask for help when needed. I really do love my parents so much. Sometimes they embarrass me, but that's okay. Thanks for everything, Mom and Dad."
Oh, sometimes they embarrass. You've never been embarrassed by your parents, have you?
Please.
It's part of the job. It's part of the job description, I think.
Okay.
Claire says, "My godfather has been in the Army for a long time, and he has taught me a lot about the Army. He has motivated me to go to college and is proud of me. My mom and dad do a great job motivating me by getting me through the day. They give me advice when I might need it. They give me encouraging words to remind me to get my homework done on time." You know what? Some of that was Jacob's, which I think we already read. But Jacob's parents probably deserve a double shout out, because...
Yeah, double shout out to Jacob's parents.
Yeah. So who else do we have left here, Kate? Hayden?
Julian, Christian, except it said he might join.
Oh, Julian. Julian said, "What I love most about my parents is that they are always there for me when I need them. When there are tough things that I need to work on, I know that I can always ask them." I know you don't have this one circled, but what does Kaylin have to say?
Kaylin says, "I would like to thank my parents for helping me out with my life and getting me through tough times. My parents are so kind to me and other people. I would like to thank them for taking me on family vacations and helping me with homework."
Nice shout out from Kaylin, and I think we got them.
It said Christian was willing to join on Zoom, but I don't think he's with us right now.
Yes, nope, but I am sure that Christian would want to give a shout out to his parents.
Shout out to Christian too.
Yes, and to him as well, and to all of the caregivers that support their children through Edgewood. I think that they are a group of people that are really dedicated to their kids and want them to have the college experience. Do you have any other final words that you would want to say when it comes to the importance of your parents as your caregivers?
Like my thank yous?
Like your thank yous, or let me ask you this. Where do you find mom and dad helping you out most as a young man with a disability?
When there's situations that I cannot really handle myself because of disabilities, I think you're there for me in that way. For example, like those phone calls. I'd say the phone calls and like the security checks, those kind of stuff where they have Zoom calls or calls.
So, okay, so you're talking because you are an adult with a disability, you have a caseworker that's part of your she's considered your IRIS consultant. So we have to have monthly calls with her and come up with a plan. And you know, there's probably other parents that are listening that have children with disabilities. What advice would you give those parents so that they can help their child be the best that they could be?
Sorry, could you repeat the question again?
So there's probably people that are listening that have children with disabilities, and I'm just curious what advice you would give those parents so that they could help their children in being the best that they can be.
Well, I would say try to push them to do things, but you also need to remember that they have disabilities as well, and definitely when they are younger, with the whole being protective, it is good, but it's good as they get just a little bit older to be less protective, even if it's not quite the age of 18, because then it can make them learn how to be a little bit more independent. If you still feel like you need to be protective of them when they are over 18, that's totally fine too, but it's just
I understand, and that's great advice, Kaden. And I see that sometimes with parents that have children with disabilities that you know, they really want to make sure that they're okay, and they kind of handle everything, and they don't always necessarily let their children to go out on their own and be independent and spread their wings. So we just have a few seconds. You want one final thought? Yeah.
Well, and just any parent in general. That's just parents and having kids in general.
That's just parenting. Parenting 101 from a non-parent. Kaden Kroot, thank you so much, buddy, for helping me out today. Love you, and I'm glad that you can give a shout out to everyone at Edgewood.
Yep.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and I am joined now by extraordinary self-care advocate, Felicia Claiborne, who is also a board member of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. Welcome, Felicia. Let me warn you, Felicia, that this interview is going to go by extremely fast. So I just want to ask you a few like speed dating questions. Rattle off as quick as you can so we can get to your advocacy work. First of all, do you feel comfortable disclosing your disability?
Yes, I have a visual impairment. I am an albino. I have nystagmus. I have tremiscus. I have astigmatism. I'm also have plantar fasciitis in both of my feet. And also, I have intellectual disability. So I have autism, and I have anxiety disorder and depression.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Felicia. That in and of itself takes a lot of courage, and I admire all of the work that you are doing. I also want to ask you, so you're on board supporting people with disabilities, you present at conferences, and if I recall, you also do a podcast. Is all that true?
Yes, that is true. I have been doing two podcasts. One is under development, but one that I've been doing ever since July of 2019 called Kingdom Hope Connection Podcast, which I interview people from the faith-based all around the world. And the other one is under development that I've been doing since June of 2023 called Disability Cafe Podcast. So it's bringing the advocates, supporters, and disability community leaders together to talk about what they do, almost what you're doing, Liza, here.
Yeah, but you've been doing it longer, so I've got a lot to learn from you. Where can people find your podcasts?
Well, they can find Kingdom Hope Connection on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, which maybe now I'll be switching over to YouTube, on Amazon Music, so they can always ask their smart speaker, play Kingdom Hope Connection Podcast. So, and also with Disability Cafe Podcast, will be on Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts also.
You're everywhere. You are everywhere. Yes. Say the first one. I just turned up my microphone, but I didn't catch it. Can you say the first one loud and slow? Slow and loud.
Kingdom Hope Connections Podcast.
Kingdom Hope Connections Podcast, and that's your faith-based podcast. And yes. And what do you cover on that?
Mostly various faith-based topics. How it that happened back in 2018, I wanted to do podcasting, but then at the time I had financial problems. So I started to look on the internet to create my own radio show and found a platform and asked a lot of people that I were connected to on Facebook and other social media platforms. And they kindly said yes. And the rest is history. We talk about prayer and hope and love and all the good ones that people would love to hear that needs that hope in them darkest hours of their life.
I love it. Thank you for the work that you do on your podcast. And I can't wait to check it out. But what I really want to give you these last few minutes for, and like I said, this was going to go super fast, is you and I met at an advocacy training put on by Family Voices of Wisconsin. And you're there because you are an active advocate around the transportation issue. So I want to give you the rest of the time just to talk about what issues are going on in transportation, especially for those with disabilities, those that don't drive, and what you would like to see done.
So the issues that we're having is that a lot of the communities in Wisconsin does not have connecting transportation, especially within the Milwaukee area, Madison, Green Bay, all the surrounding cities that are happening where they can't go beyond the lines of their county to go somewhere. And so what is very important that we advocate and educate the community to be able to do that and to be able to say, we want things to be done and we want to see an expansion and a connection. So people that's from Milwaukee can get easily to Green Bay. People that's in Madison can be easy to get to Milwaukee. We know we got buses, but we want to do more. We really want to do more so we could be able not to be depending on family and friends, but to always depend on transportation. And transit makes Wisconsin works.
It does make Wisconsin work. And you know, I love that. It's not only getting from point A to point B, right? It's about being able to live your life independently and not relying on others. Well, I guess that's what living independently means, right? Do you have any statistics out there about how many people are non-drivers in Wisconsin, or about how many people this would really benefit?
Most of the statistics that I have is mainly the ones that are in rural areas that are depending on caregivers, or either they can't get anywhere at all. So the biggest is in the rural areas, but mostly in those big cities. I could say that a lot of them are experiencing lateness to doctor's appointments and also to their job. And so we need more. We just need more drivers in the Milwaukee area.
Well, Milwaukee and beyond. You know, I know I've shared with you in our class workshops together a little bit about my story, and I have a 19-year-old son with autism. And, you know, I'm fearful as I'm becoming an empty nester and kind of want to get out and do some things I haven't been able to do while I was being a mom as who's going to take my son to where he needs to go. So Felicia, I told you it was going to go super fast. So I'm going to have ask you back on again so we can talk about this more, because I've heard you talk and you've got wonderful good things to say, and you have some really good solutions, and we need you on our team. So I'm going to give you that microphone one more time down the road.
Awesome. I will be glad to come back and talk.
All right. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.